Shalom, beloved friends and family. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. Such a gift to gather together in the presence of Adonai, our one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself to us through Yeshua, the Messiah. Whether you've come here full of joy or carrying burdens, you are welcome in this place. We are one body, called by his name, drawn by his spirit. Join me as we open in prayer. Our Father, our King, our Lord and Savior, we come before you with a grateful heart. Thank you for the gift of life, the breath in our lungs, and for the promise of redemption through your sacrifice on the cross as the Lamb who was slain for us. Thank you for gathering us as one family, both Jew and Gentile, together under your covenant of love. Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, we invite you to move freely in our midst. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive all that you want to speak to us today. As we open your word, give us understanding. As we worship, let our praises rise as a sweet aroma before you. Yeshua, we ask for healing, for unity, and for the fullness of your shalom to rest on every person here. May we discern your body rightly. Honor one another and be changed in your presence. We give you all the glory. In your precious name, Yeshua, our Messiah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. As we worship, turn your eyes upon Yeshua and let his spirit touch you today. Whatever you need, trust that he knows and has already provided for you. Lay your burdens down and focus on Yeshua and show him how much you love him. Today we are worshiping with YouTube. For those of you listening online, you can choose to pause the recording and have your own worship. Or just continue listening for today's message. Hallelujah! Blessed be the Lord. What a powerful worship we've had this morning. It's been awesome. I don't know about you, but I definitely feel his presence here today. What a blessing to honor our Lord and Savior, our Messiah, Yeshua. We sang that song. It was a new song for us. We never really heard it before, but it was by this choir, this black choir. And he was talking about how you wake up in the morning with an attitude of no doubt that he will take care of you, that he will provide for you. It makes you want to shout. It makes you want to pray. It makes you want to sing. It makes you want to run. And it's like the song was just, the words was just stirred up my spirit. When the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it brought a lot of joy. So I would encourage you to look up When I Rise in the Morning by the Mississippi Choir, I think they are. And it was and just, wow, it was a powerful song and declaration of how we should wake up in the morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, today I want to teach you about discerning the body correctly. So what does it mean to discern the body? Let's begin with the Apostle Paul's warning in 1 Corinthians 11:27-30. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For everyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Paul's words are sobering. He says that not discerning the body leads to weakness, sickness, and even death. So what does it mean to discern the body? Is this about the physical body of Yeshua, bread of communion, or something more? What is the body? And why does it matter so much? Let's go back to the words of Yeshua at the Last Supper. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And that's Luke 22:19, the New King James Version is what I read it from. The Greek word for body here is soma, which simply means body. But in Hebrew, the word would have been guf. Here, Yeshua identifies himself as the Passover lamb, whose body would be broken for the redemption of his people. Paul picks up this theme in 1 Corinthians 10:16-17. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Messiah? Bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Messiah? Because there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Paul links the individual's believer's relationship with Messiah's body and the corporate reality of the believing community. So first, the body we are to discern is the literal body of Messiah, his physical life laid down for us. Isaiah 53:4-5 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our pains. He was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. The chastisement for our shalom was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed." Hallelujah! The suffering and death of Yeshua were not just symbolic. They secured real atonement, best known as Kippur. And so we have the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, in the fall, and healing for us. When we eat and drink at the Lord's table, we remember not only what he did, what we enter into, a reality that he accomplished for us. Wow. Do we discern this correctly? Do we really take the wine or grape juice and bread, communion, and think about this is a reality? Yeshua paid the price for our sin to be washed away forever. He paid the price, took the stripes for our healing. And the healing is the children's bread. Yeshua paid the full price for our salvation, our healing, our deliverance, for our life abundant. He came that we might have life and life to the full, abundant life. And when we take communion, we realize this is a reality that he did for us, and we come into agreement with it. To discern means to distinguish, recognize, or judge rightly. His body means to recognize the price he paid, the holiness of his sacrifice, and to approach with awe, gratitude, and repentance. Paul immediately shifts from the physical body of Yeshua to the spiritual body, the community of believers. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Messiah, and individually members of it." The Hebrew concept behind congregation or assembly is kahal, and in Greek, ekklesia. The body is not just Yeshua's physical form, but his people joined together. Discerning the body also means recognizing and honoring the value, dignity, and gifting of each member of the community. To partake unworthily is to ignore the needs, wounds, or divisions in Messiah's body. Paul rebukes the Corinthians, not just for dishonoring the bread and cup, but for divisions, neglect of the poor, and lack of love. 1 Corinthians 11:17-22. Read it. He calls us to see the body is holy, both Messiah and his people. So prophetically, the body of Messiah is the fulfillment of God's promise to gather a remnant, Jew and Gentile, into one new man. Read Ephesians 2:14-16, which says, "For he himself is our shalom," which is peace, "who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace." Yeshua's body is both the atoning sacrifice and the uniting force that brings together all who trusted him. Discerning the body means seeing the prophetic reality of what God is building, a people who are filled with the Spirit, living as one. I've taught on this before about the one tree. There is only one. It's Israel, God's people. And we are grafted in if we are a Gentile who believes in Yeshua. We're grafted into that tree, that one tree, or one body, one tree, one Spirit. And if we don't discern that oneness, we're not discerning the body correctly. If we reject our brothers and sisters because of their DNA or the color of their skin, or they don't believe exactly like we believe in some areas, we are not discerning the body correctly. There's so many denominations out there, but there is a litmus test. What do you believe about Yeshua? If you believe that Yeshua is God, that's what matters. Do you believe? Do you believe in the one true God who is Yeshua? Paul says that not discerning the body brings weakness, sickness, and even death. Why? Well, when we fail to recognize the holiness of Messiah's sacrifice, we drift into casualness, sin, and division. This grieves the Spirit and opens the door to spiritual decline. If we don't honor Yeshua as the Messiah, as our Creator, as it says in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then it goes on in that chapter, in that passage, and tells us that everything that's been created was recreated by the Word, and the Word is Yeshua, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. So if we don't discern his body and his sacrifice, that as God, he came and became man and died for us and paid that ultimate price, then we won't honor it. We won't respect it. We won't receive healing for our sicknesses. We won't receive salvation. We must believe in Yeshua and what he did on the cross. And that he didn't stay dead. He rose again. And because of that, when we believe in him and repent and are baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it seals us to that great day when he returns, we receive eternal life. Hallelujah. And then physically, once again, scripture often links spiritual realities to physical consequences. When we harbor unforgiveness, bitterness, or division, it can manifest in our bodies. James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. You know, I worked in the healing rooms for a couple years, and so often the people who were sick harbored unforgiveness or bitterness against other people, or they had unrepented sin. So they were not discerning the body of Christ properly. So they were sick. And they came to us. And once we led them in those prayers of repentance, of forgiveness, and removed every legal access the enemy had to their lives, they received their healing. So we see how, you know, all this is connected. Even stress. So many physical ailments have their root in stress. We all fall into that. I've fallen into that this past year. I've had a very difficult year. Starting last year and into this year, I've had a very difficult year. And it's been stressful. And it's been a battle. And it's been manifesting in my body in different ways. And I am being told by this message and other messages that the Lord has given me, I need to remind myself, be anxious for nothing. Fear not. My Father in heaven knows what I need, and he will take care of me. And that's the same for you too. We have to remember, like that song said, we have to wake up in the morning with no doubt. He will take care of us. He will provide for us. We have nothing to worry about. Amen? In the Torah, the physical and spiritual are always connected. Deuteronomy 28 outlines blessings and curses, many of which are physical based on covenant faithfulness. Messiah's body brings healing, but only when we receive it with discernment and faith. So how do we discern the body correctly? Well, we're told to examine ourselves before taking communion. When we come to the table, we have to take time for reflection, repentance, and reconciliation. Ask the Spirit to show you any unconfessed sin or broken relationships. Psalms 139:23-24 tells us, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." We have to allow him to search us. And then if we have to leave our gift at the altar and go be reconciled to a brother or sister, we have to be willing to do that. Honor the sacrifice of Yeshua. Remember the gravity of what he did. Don't treat the bread and cup as a routine or empty ritual. Approach with awe and gratitude. Honor the body, your brothers and sisters. Refuse to harbor bitterness, unforgiveness, or division. Seek reconciliation. Recognize the value of every member, regardless of background or gifting. Romans 12:4-5 says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Messiah, and individually members of one another." Let me share a few analogies that will help you understand this concept and drive this truth home. So, think of a family dinner table. And think about a family meal. If one family member is hurting or upset, and everyone else ignores them, pretends nothing is wrong, the meal loses its meaning. The table is meant for togetherness, not just for eating. In the same way, when we come to the Lord's table, we're called to notice one another, to care, to reconcile, to be honest about our relationships. If we ignore problems or divisions, we miss the whole point. I know many families have a rule, no cell phones at the table, because if we come together as a family at the dinner table, it's to commune as family. We want to talk to each other, do a check up on each other, talk about the day. What are you struggling with? How can we pray for you? How can we support you in something you're going through? But if everybody's busy on their cell phones, playing their game while they eat, or checking their emails, or their Facebook, or whatever social media they're into, then nobody talks. We're all ignoring each other. And what's the point of having dinner together as a family? Really? I think we can improve on that, especially in this day and age of cell phones. Don't you? We need to have true family dinner time once again, where we sit together, we eat the meal together, and we talk to one another. And it's a place of communion. But there's another analogy that maybe this will help you understand it. Think of a sports team. Imagine a soccer or basketball team or a football team. Every player has a different role. But if one person refuses to pass the ball or another purposely sits out, the team can't function as well. And they'll probably lose. In Messiah's body, every person matters. If we ignore someone's gifts or wounds, the whole body suffers. Discerning the body means recognizing that we win or lose together. And no one is left out on purpose. Just like that sports team. They win or lose as a team. And so everybody must do their part. Are you allowing your people, pastors, to do their part? Is everyone doing something so the team for the king can win? We all have a purpose. We must be about the Father's business. I know I've preached on this before. One last analogy to help, that might help. Because we all have different things that make things click in our minds. So maybe this one will click for you if the others two haven't. Picture a machine or a car with one small broken part. If you don't address the little problem, it can eventually cause the whole system to fail. In the same way, small conflicts, hidden resentment, or unspoken hurts in a congregation can grow if ignored. Discerning the body is like good maintenance. It means addressing issues honestly and gently before they become major problems. If you fix that small problem or do regular maintenance on your car, get the oil change the air filters, the oil filters, and wash it, clean it inside and out. Proper maintenance will make that car last so much longer and work so much better. So with the body of Christ, your local church, do regular maintenance. Have prayer meetings where anybody who's sick can get prayer. Anybody who's going through something, you can help them. Ask the Lord how you should go about meeting the needs of your body. Help them. Help each person. Ask the Lord to show you who's hurting, who's struggling, and be willing to help them. Amen? Discerning the body is a lot like checking in on your family at dinner or making sure your team is working together. It means not pretending everything is fine when you know someone is hurting, or letting people drift to the sidelines. It's about being honest, caring, and working together to keep the body healthy physically, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. If that person who's been coming to your church suddenly is no longer coming, someone needs to check on them to make sure everything is okay. Yeah, I went to a church up in Pennsylvania when I lived there. And the one thing that that church did was create monthly checkup teams. And we to get to know each other, every month they were rotated. It was a different group, you know, so that we would have different people that we related to. And our job was to call them at least once that week, more if we wanted, or go by their house and check on them. If they didn't come to church the next Sunday, we definitely went and checked on them. Maybe even that afternoon after church, we went over and said, are you okay? Or gave them a call or whatever. But we always constantly checked up on each other and made sure we were doing fine, that everybody was okay and there was no needs. And one time I was sick and I needed something done. And the pastor was on my care team that week. And so he called and I said, yeah, I'm sick and I need this done. I think a curtain had fell off a window or something like that. And I was not feeling up to climbing a ladder and fixing it. He came over. Not only did he pray for my healing, but he hung that curtain for me. And so that's the kind of care we need to be exhibiting in our local bodies. We need to be looking out for one another. And so I thank the Lord that I had that example. And so let's do that. Let's practice that. And I know my pastor friend in the Philippines practices this because we have family over there and he cares for them and he takes care of them and he's done things for them. And I've worked with him to get things done for them. And I really appreciate him a lot because he really cares for his local body there, his people. He looks out for them. And that's the kind of pastors we want to be. We want to pray for healing, both spirit, soul, and body. When we discern the body rightly, there is power for healing. Invite the Spirit to bring wholeness in every area of not only your life, but also the lives of your brothers and sisters. I was taught once that if you have a need, find someone else with a similar need and pray for them. And then you both will get your need met. And finally, live as one new man. Walk in unity, humility, and love. Jew and Gentile together as a prophetic sign of God's kingdom on earth. And aren't we supposed to be praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, you know the verse that says, maybe you don't know the verse, it talks about there was a multitude from every tongue, every nation, gathered together. And they all worship God. So it's every tongue, Jew and Gentile. No matter where you're born, no matter what your DNA is, no matter what your skin color is, you can be part of God's kingdom. All you have to do is repent and be baptized in the name of Yeshua and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit seals you to that day. So I want to say in conclusion and give you a call to action that, friends, to discern the body correctly is to see with God's eyes. The sacrifice of Messiah and the beauty of his people is a call to unity and holiness. When we approach his table with this discernment, we receive not only forgiveness, but healing, strength, and fresh life. So let's come to the table with reverence. Let's honor one another as members of Messiah's body. And let's believe for the full measure of his blessing, spirit, soul, and body, as we discern the body together. This isn't something we do casually or just once. It requires real honesty with ourselves and with God. And while we're not taking communion today, and You can do this the next time you prepare to come to the table. Pause and invite the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Take a moment to ask, am I harboring unforgiveness? Have I overlooked someone who's hurting? Is there any division or hidden pain in my relationships with Messiah's body? Like a family that checks in with each other before a meal, or a team that makes sure everyone's ready to play, let's not rush past the need to examine ourselves. When we come to his table with this kind of reverence and humility, we receive not only forgiveness, but healing, strength, and fresh life. Let's honor Yeshua's sacrifice, honor one another as members of his body, and believe for the full measure of his blessing as we discern the body correctly. And you know what? We can do this every day. But even though we are not taking communion day, we can take a moment now to quiet our hearts before the Lord and let him show us what needs healing, what needs restoring, and where he's inviting us into deeper unity. That way we will be ready when we do take communion. And once again, you can take communion every day. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. That's what the Bible says. And there's been other ministers. I think Perry Stone wrote the book, The Meal That Heals. So if you're fighting with sickness, something especially that the doctors can't heal, like cancer or other terminal disease, maybe you need to take communion every day and remind yourself and your body that you have a blood covenant with Yeshua, that he shed precious blood. He took stripes for that sickness, that disease. And remember every day to repent and forgive. Amen. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for your word that is alive and powerful, for the presence of your Spirit among us, and for the gift of Yeshua, our Messiah, our Redeemer, our King. We ask that everything we heard and received today would take root in our hearts. Help us to truly discern the body of Messiah, not just a symbol, but as a living reality in our lives and in our community. Teach us to honor your sacrifice, Yeshua, and to honor one another walking in love, forgiveness, and unity. Father, bring healing where there is brokenness, whether in spirit, soul, body, or relationships. Where there is division, bring restoration. Where there is weakness, bring strength. Where there is doubt, bring faith. Let your love bind us together as one new man in Messiah, Jew and Gentile, a living testimony to your faithfulness. Go with us now, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Guide our steps and help us to shine your light in our spheres of influence. We bless your name, Yeshua, and we pray all these things in your precious name. You are our Messiah. You are our healer, our Lord and Savior, our Creator, our everything. Your Spirit is with us, guiding us, teaching us, leading us. If we allow you to lead us, you will. Help us to yield to you and wake up tomorrow with no doubt that you have everything we need, when you know what our needs are. And you will provide for us. Amen. Now, as you go forth and put this word into practice this week, examining yourself and discerning the body correctly, first in your family, may there be shalom in your home.